course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by your other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm not doing too shabby. I'm excited to be releasing an episode on Christmas.
That's right. It is Christmas. So,
Oops, sorry. Review some, or potential, I actually said, say, preview some movies for 2026.
That's right.
No, you're okay.
The day we release this, it is Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everyone. Hopefully everyone's having a good holiday season and is full of excitement and potential for the new year approaching, which is what we're discussing today. But for the most part, we are discussing our 2026 horror preview, including our top five most anticipated horror movies for 2026, plus three honorable mentions. We won't go too deep into them. We'll just some general conversation of what we're looking forward to.
Yeah.
But before we get there, we do have some news and things, including the season two finale of Creep Tapes, season two, episode six, Angela. Ike, what did you think of this?
So you're going to hate me, but I did not have time to watch this. I
do hate you.
Literally, I saved it for the last moment. You know what I mean? I just been busy with preparing and stuff for Christmas. So yeah, no, I did not get to watch this, but I saw some rumbling on Twitter that it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was very good. It was very good. You need to watch it. It was wacky. Let me say that. It was a wacky episode, but very, very good. And so if anybody's been waiting to binge, now all season two's out. So they can, you know, on Shudder, so you can go watch Creep Tape season two. Mark Duplass did put out there on social media that, hey, don't fear. They have already filmed two episodes for season three. So they're already working hard on that, so that shouldn't be too much of a wait. Very, very exciting. So just really quickly before we dive into stuff, did you watch anything else, Ike?
Only other thing I watched, horror-related, I'm on the final season of Supernatural. It's the home stretch for that. And then I am also – we also watched It's a Wonderful Knife. Honestly, that is starting to become one of my favorite Christmas horror movies. It's so, so good.
Yeah, I haven't rewatched. I've kind of forgot about that, but I believe we have a review of that in the archives. If anybody wants to hear more about that, let's see. I actually watched New Fear's Eve and Queens of the Dead that we had talked about. New Fear's Eve was okay, but not the greatest. It was a little too campy, comedic for me, just a bit, but it was okay. Queens of the Dead was very good. I very much liked it. I thought it was really, really great. I thought it was clever. I thought it was well done. I thought the comedy in it was much better. You know, had a nice little story, a human story wove in it. Very good. I you know, give them both a watch, but I prefer Queens of the Dead. So
all right.
So with that in the books, let's keep chugging along because we've got a lot to talk about. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have our news, birthdays, movie anniversaries, and all that stuff. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, so we are going to start off with some news for this week. Five Nights at Freddy's 2 is now available to view on video on demand. We will probably get to see this on streaming pretty soon. I know previously it was on Peacock. I don't know if it's still on there, but in the past, the first movie was on Peacock. So potentially see that eventually on there. But we obviously have a review of this and the first one. Generally positive reviews from both of us, but I am excited to rewatch it for sure.
Yeah, me too. Just like we said, well, like I said in the review, that I preferred the second over the first a bit. Thought it was a little bit better. So yeah, I'm looking forward to watching it again. So, and I'm sure it'll just like it did in the box office, I'm sure it'll be a big hit video on demand and then a big hit on streaming and everything else. So, but if you just can't wait, it's on video on demand. So go get it.
Amen. All right. And as always, don't forget, at the day this episode drops on Christmas Day, the next three episodes of Stranger Things Season 5 are available on Netflix. It's actually weird because the first set of episodes came out on the day before Thanksgiving. The finale is coming out on December 31st, New Year's Eve. Why is this not coming out on Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas? I feel like they had a trend going and they've just kind of thrown it in the can. I don't know. But anyways, I'm a big guy for synchronicity, so it seemed a little off. But no, I'm excited. Three episodes to prepare us for the finale next week. And if anybody's curious or thinking about it, I believe the finale is going to be in some theaters in some places.
Yeah, that'll be fun. I venture to guess that they think on Christmas Day, everybody will have opened gifts, will have eaten dinner, and we'll be all sitting around wondering what to do. And so here's something to unite the family in viewing. So there's also apparently going to be a Stranger Things animated series coming out that takes place between 2 and 3, I guess. So yeah, that's apparently forthcoming as well.
Yeah, I was gonna say I remembered seeing that the other day, and I mean that's exciting. I think that's an appropriate way to kind of fill in some gaps. I hope that they also do a adaptation of the play. It's like Secrets of something, or I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a play that they did that is sort of like a prequel to the series. But
Well,
yeah, no, I think that'll be good, and yeah, I'm interested. The animation style looks good.
I think just, yeah, I don't think there's anything to fear with the series ending. This is going to be a franchise and that's going to continue on one way or another through animation, through prequels, through spinoffs, through everything, merchandising, whatever. The franchise is not going anywhere. It
No,
makes a lot of money. So.
it makes way too much money. But very good. And I think it does it for news, other than you have to report on some unfortunate news, which is that actor James Ransom passed away on December 19th at the age of 46. We'd obviously like to take this moment to say that if you or someone you know is experiencing emotional stress or mental health, you can speak to somebody at the Suicide Crisis Hotline by dialing 988. Obviously, Christmas is a hard time of year for a lot of people, especially in in the world we live in today, unfortunately. And stuff like James in his the sort of tragedy that he's sort of experienced is not uncommon, unfortunately. So especially we're going to make sure that you're not alone. We're all people there for you. And I know we don't have a huge reach, but hopefully this will help somebody in some way, shape, or form.
I mean, hopefully it's unfortunate. I mean, he was a talented guy, has great credit, but even just despite that, it's unfortunate that anybody, would experience this, and feel like this. So, I don't want to talk, too deep about it. I don't, it's a family thing. Everybody knows what happened.
Yes.
It is what it is. So it's, if they don't want to share, it's none of our business. If they don't want to share any more than that, that's whatever. That's fine with them. When these things happen, the only thing you can absolutely hope is that I don't know, maybe someone will reach out instead of not. Unfortunately, when these things happen, this is when everybody shares, the lifeline numbers and this and that and everything. And not all the time, but just remember it's always there. Not just when these things happen and everybody's sharing it on social media. This is always available. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to reach out to someone. If not this, someone that you trust and love, just someone. It's okay what you're feeling, and there are people out there to help you whatever, sort it out, try to help you lift you up, help support you. If you even if you feel alone, there's always somebody out there. So
Absolutely.
don't despair.
Absolutely. But all right. So we're gonna move on now from our news. We're gonna hop into some birthdays. We got some good ones this week. Start us off strong. Didn't know that either of these people were born on Christmas Day, but December 25th of 1942, Sissy Spacek, who played the the original Carrie. Sissy Spacek had a very iconic, portrayal of that character. And I definitely, when I think of Carrie, I think of, the original Sissy Spacek version of Carrie. Obviously they've had multiple remakes since then. So, but that was the OG, Sissy
Yep. And
Spacek.
I always will. I always will thank her. It doesn't no matter. I mean, I know we've got a series coming out, and I'm sure it's gonna be great. I have no doubts that probably the series will be great because it'll go a little deeper and the people associated. But it doesn't matter, no offense to anybody else. It's always Sissy Spacek. It will always will be. And I'm sorry, no matter how great anybody else does, they'll always be shy of her performance. So
Yeah.
just unfortunate. No shame in being second place to her.
No, not at all. But very good. So happy birthday, Sissy. And we're gonna jump now to the other Christmas birthday, which again, I did not know this person was born on Christmas. But December 25th, 1924, we have Rod Serling, the creator of the Twilight Zone. Obviously, Rod Serling did quite a bit of work other than the Twilight Zone. I believe he did, what was that? Planet of the Apes, and Night Gallery, I think, was the other big one that he did. excuse me, but obviously, Rod Serling's a legend. I mean, Twilight Zone is probably the progenitor of the concept of what's it called? Anthology-esque horror,
Yeah, I mean, just
So.
like a whatever, a supernatural, extraterrestrial, encompassing lots of different things series. I mean, yeah, I don't think there was anything before it. Definitely nothing better than that before it. So.
Right, N nothing memorable.
And it's just, again, it's such, even if you've never watched an episode of The Twilight Zone, it's one of those things that has crossed over into just pop culture in general. Everybody knows the name Twilight Zone. Everybody knows at least vaguely what it kind of means. And I'd venture to guess a huge chunk of people know that theme
Yeah.
because it's been used in other things and whatnot. And it's so iconic and, it's pretty cool. It's always fascinating to me to think the people that created these things when they did, because it's easy to think someone would create something like that now when it's so much stuff out there and whatever. But it's so wild to think when he created it that it's I'm always fascinated by the first or the earliest of when people do this stuff. It's so monumental.
No, absolutely. And I was actually going to comment on that. A lot of times you see like these original versions of like a popular, anthology, for instance, is incredibly popular. We have things like, Creepshow and Tales from the Crypt and, all these other anthology type shows, and even to some extent shows like Supernatural or
And
The Vampire
X-Files.
Diaries and The X-Files. I mean,
Yeah.
they're a
Anything that
little bit
does,
different.
yeah, any well, but yeah, like X-Files, especially like the early X-Files, the early Supernatural, it's kind of a monster of the week thing. It's almost kind of like an anthology, but there is some ongoing storytelling. But
Right.
like in Supernatural, 1 week it's a werewolf, the next week it's a demon, next week it's kind of like an anthology. It's the same, but there is some ongoing story. So, but there's no doubt, and I think anybody that created any of those would still say Twilight Zone was an influence on what they did.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But Twilight Zone, like you said, forever will remain sort of as a famous but also infamous too, because there are tragedies surrounding one of the movies they made, right? I think a couple of actors passed
I
away
think
on
so.
set. But that's a whole other story too. But no, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Rod Serling is very talented and will definitely be remembered for his work on the Twilight Zone. And also, I think that kind of goes into like how do we have modern like anthology horror like Trick or Treat movies and stuff like that. It kind of all kind of falls into the same category to some degree.
And that's not even again, there's just so much you can talk about. I mean, even getting like to the technical side, right? That
Right.
again, the effects, the camera shots, that kind of stuff that they had to do. A lot of it didn't exist, right? They had to figure out ways to do it to try to make it look as good as they could. And it's just fascinating. It's just, and again, I'm sure I've not really dove into it, but there's got to be countless books that dives into the Twilight Zone and history and this and that. So it would be a fascinating thing to go down a rabbit hole of.
No, absolutely. But very good. So happy birthday, Rod. Obviously in memory because he passed away a number of years now, but very good. Moving on to after Christmas, December 27th of 1962, we have Barbara Crampton, of course known for her extensive horror works, but specifically Reanimator, From Beyond, Chopping Mall, as well as many, many, many more. I'm pretty sure she's still out there working even today. Obviously, I think Reanimator is arguably probably her most famous work. That's I know I'm sure that's where you know her from most.
Yeah. I mean, I like Chopping Mall too. It depends on what you're looking for. She's a little sultry and from beyond. So depends on what part of Barbara Crampton. You know, she's great though. I mean, again, she's one of those also that is such a great ambassador for horror. Enjoys horror, enjoys her place within it. You know, knows. Kind of her groove, and she's always out there. She's active on social media. She's active at conventions, and it's not only is she talented, not only does she have this great catalog of work, but it's her like Felisa Rose, like some of these other people we've talked about. It's so great because they're out there actively being these wonderful, positive ambassadors, you know, for horror, and really showing people that, you know, hey. Sometimes, you know, horror has a stigma a lot of times. It always has. And you meet and see people like Barbara Crampton and you think, oh, what? That's okay. That's maybe it's okay. Maybe it's not what I thought because she's a pretty great person. I don't, you know, it's just like that. You know, she's just out there really supporting and encouraging. And it's great. I love that. I love people that enjoy their place within this genre and embrace it.
Yeah, absolutely. But very, very good. So we'll give you a big old happy birthday to Barbara Crampton. And then we're going to move now to the same day, just about 13 years later, December 27, 1975. We have Heather O'Rourke, who played in the Poltergeist films 1 through 3. Another tragic story, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's
We
unreal.
won't get into the nitty-gritty of it because it is truly, I mean, I would say one of the more disturbing stories from Hollywood and child actors and so forth. But Heather O'Rourke is no longer with us, hasn't been since the 80s. But obviously her work on Poltergeist is, I mean, she does some, I mean, amazing work, frankly. I mean, she's fantastic in those films. Even if the sequels weren't as strong, the original Poltergeist is cemented into the horror, pop culture. You know what I mean? Like you think
Oh, yeah.
about Poltergeist, there are so many of those tropes that we kind of gathered from that original film that I feel like have really spanned other movies and other genres. So, absolutely. So, but fantastic actress, did great in Poltergeist for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and just the name Poltergeist alone. I mean, how many
Yes.
people, so many people just know that name. They know what that is. If it wasn't for this movie, people wouldn't. They wouldn't know what Poltergeist is. I mean, not the amount of people, but. But yeah, I mean, it's all well documented. You know, everybody, you know, can go out there research and read up. It's a very cautionary tale. And I mean, but she, I again, with stuff like this, I always think about things, you know, like I always think, man, what if she were still around? I mean, it's like, you know, we just talked about Barbara Crampton and what she's like. I mean, Heather O'Rourke would be younger than her. And
Yeah.
And you know, what else would she have done? What would she be doing now? I don't know. You know, it's I don't know. It's sad to think that about that, but you know, I can't help but my mind to wonder. You know, hopefully, I don't know. You know, you would think so much. You would think she'd be in a better place, you know, and all this and that. But it's just, it's terrible. But what a huge impact for such a short time.
Absolutely. It's very unfortunate, you know, but like you said, had a huge impact still today. So cannot speak on that enough, but we're going to jump now to December 30th. So we're getting towards the end of the year, 1945. We have Lloyd Kaufman, who is the head of Troma Films and the creator of The Toxic Avenger. You know, this is one of those weird ones where, like, you know, he made The Toxic Avenger, the original, and then, you know, it went on to spawn, you know, sequels and then eventually a remake with the likes of, name?
Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage and Elijah Wood, right? So mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's you know, the original was mostly unknowns, but I feel like the remake really got a big big lift out of that original notoriety. But no, the Toxic Avenger series is great, and of course, we wouldn't have that without Lloyd and Troma Films.
That's right, and Lloyd's done lots of things, and it's still out there. Troma Films is still a thing. He is still out there making these zany ass, wacky, weird movies that I mean, honestly, they're not that different from Toxic Avenger. I mean, he is, he has a method that he enjoys, and it surrounds himself with people that enjoy that. And if that's what you like, you know, and that's your thing, those wacky kind of movies with, weird things and some nudity and so forth. Lloyd's still doing it. Troma Films are still doing it. So there's lots of stuff out there for you to see, but he's a wacky fun guy. He's zany.
Yeah, absolutely. He is. And I mean, if the movies are any indication of how weird this guy is, it's a very true indication.
Yeah, he would he'd be an interesting dinner guest.
That's for sure. But very good. So we have one more birthday here. We have December 31st of 1941. We have Sean S. Cunningham, who directed the first Friday the 13th movie. And I think likely part of the rights issues is probably due to some of the disagreements between Mr. Cunningham and some of the other parties involved. It's so weird because, you know, you look back at these old horror movies, specifically like Friday the 13th, and you have this guy who made this movie, he had some partners here and there, and then it just kind of devolved, right? You start making sequels, different people kind of jump in, and now, you know, things weren't as structured as they are now, right? Nowadays, you have to go through very specific channels, you have to have specific, you know, production houses or credentials, or even if you're making like an indie film, you have to have a distributor and, you know, certain rights go to certain people. But back then, things were a little more loosey-goosey, and I think that definitely has contributed to some of the issues we have now. But despite that, though, of course, Sean still was a huge influence on that first film for sure.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And I appreciate his work and everything else. And he produced, you know, some of the later, like the Freddy versus Jason and some of that and some other things. And, you know, I've been bitter about some of that stuff with Friday the 13th and the whole, but it's, you know, on the same token, I get it. You know, if you're in this thing and you do contribute something, right? I mean, that you see being out there merchandised and making all this money and you're getting nothing, you know, whether it was you that came up with the concept of the hockey mask, you know, him donning the hockey mask. But that's what they didn't document that back then. No one put that down. So-and-so came up with this idea. That's his thing. And look at all that money. And now, I get it, right? You want to think, hey, that dude, I did that. I should get something. I get it's easy to get caught up in that stuff, but it is very difficult on the fan side to sit around while they do sort this out and we get nothing. But looks like Friday's coming out of the fog and, we're getting the series and we're getting some stuff and things and supposedly a new movie and what, you know, in the future. And so hopefully some of that's clearing up. And finally, there's some clear skies here.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, as fans, it's hard to sit around and wait for, bullshit like this to pan out. But it eventually does, and when it does, we get to say, okay, finally, let's get on to the real stuff. And like you said, we have a series coming out, hopefully a movie, hopefully a new universe even. But we shall see. We won't stick our we won't put all of our eggs in one basket. Won't stick our foot in our mouth quite yet, and we'll let them do what they need to do. But in any case, happy birthday, Sean. Now we have two movie anniversaries to talk about today. The first of which is December 25th of last year, 2024. We had Nosferatu. Nosferatu is probably still to this day one of the most contested horror movies. Not even necessarily contested, but people argue about it still, like whether or not they think it's an instant classic, or if people are just like, well, it was okay, So I think people are still arguing about that.
People argue all the time, especially within horror. But I think we reviewed this, didn't we?
Yep, we sure did.
Yeah, so you can hear our arguments in the archives. So I thought it was okay. I thought it was good. It didn't blow me away, but it was good. It's you know it is what it is. I'm very partial to the old school original though, because it's so creepy looking, and it's just that's what I've watched for years and years and years. So even though you can make this nice, pretty, polished up, more in-depth version, it's like, I don't know. I still want the old grainy, creepy version. So, but whatever. I'm not knocking it.
Yep, absolutely. You can't. We always talk about, the difference between the old and the new. And I think that's part of, what we talked about when we originally reviewed the movie, was that there were these, variations of the old and the new. But sometimes you cannot outdo the old without reinventing the new. So I think that's a big deal with this movie.
I mean, my take always is this. I mean, okay, if I prefer the old, but okay, whatever. I still see there's a place for the new, and
Exactly.
it doesn't bother me if it's even if it's not my choice. Even if I hated it, I'm like, okay, whatever. It's fine. I just won't rewatch it. It's out there for other people. It has its place. So be it. Even if I strongly feel you should not remake it, something, not just this is specific, but just anything. If I think, oh, you should not remake that. If you do, well, you do. What am I going to do about it? So why lose sleep? It's like, all right, they remade it. I don't like it. I'm not going to watch it anymore. So be it. Who cares?
Right.
We get passionate about this, guys, but they're just movies. I mean, come on.
No, absolutely. 100% agree. So I feel like also kind of what we talked about with the original review too. That was kind of our emphasis there. So if you guys want to hear more, make sure you go check that out. That's probably from around this time last year, actually. It's maybe shortly after, but
I think it was after the first year, because I think it was one of those after the reviews and the stuff. I think we during that lull period in January, I think it was when we reviewed it finally.
yeah, I think so. I feel like I remember that. But all right. We got one more anniversary before we jump into our preview of 2026. But we'll go ahead and say December 26th, 1973, we have The Exorcist, another classic horror film. I do like this movie, and I do really like the remake, which was Exorcist Believer, I believe it was. And I was really excited for the sequel to that and the whole thing they're going through, but I won't get into that. I love the original movie. I do say anytime I talk about the original Exorcist, I think that the pacing in that movie is just absolutely awful. Watching it back, it is such a long movie and it feels unnecessarily long. It's still a good movie, but man, I rewatching it sometimes is a chore. is what I'll say.
Yeah, I love it. I like it. It's I don't think it's perfect, but it's damn good enough. And
Right.
I'm sorry. I will always chuckle. I don't know why. It's just my weird sense of humor, I guess, that I love the fact that The Exorcist came out on December 26th. It's just like there's Christmas next day, boom, Exorcist. Like, so it just humors me for some reason. It seems so ironically funny in my weird twisted head.
Absolutely. But We'll have to. I was actually just thinking about this. I was mulling it over my head. Didn't they bring on somebody new to direct like the next movie in this whole Exorcist new universe? Was it Flanagan? Was it Mike Flanagan?
Man, I don't. It's so weird because they had someone in, right? They made like two movies, right? And there was going to be a third, and then it got scrapped, and now they're doing something different with who is it? Was it ScarJo? ScarJo is going to be in it, right?
Yeah, I think
Yeah,
so.
this is totally different. So it might, I think it might be Mike Flanagan. It's either Mike Flanagan's with this one or Mike Flanagan was with the ones that they just did. One or the other. I can't remember exactly.
Gotcha.
But I do know, I'm pretty sure ScarJo's on board with this new one because we had a whole conversation about, seems weird, but whatever. And but apparently this is not like a straight remake, right? They said it was a another story within the universe. I don't know. I don't know. It's so, again, I think it's like the Exorcist franchise needs to get their shit together. I mean, it's like a blanket statement with like every franchise, right? We just said, right, oh, as fans, and we just said, oh, it's just movie. Yeah, well, whatever. We're still passionate about it. All these franchises, man, it's like figure out your direction. And
Yeah.
they try one and it's like, oh, okay, it didn't make 50 million. Scrap it. Let's go a different way. It's like, motherfuck, just how about just stay your path and just make a better movie? You know, it's like, oh, it didn't work. Maybe it's the movie. Maybe just the next one, just make it better. You don't have to scrap everything. I don't know. What do I know? I mean, it's all about the dollar. And so be it.
It is 100%. The money talks and bullshit walks. So that's always what they say. So
Here's the thing. I
that's.
love the original Exorcist. I like some of the others very much, but they're starting to wear me a little thin with their attempts at
Yeah.
things. It's like each time, and it's like, it's not that. It's like, I don't, it's like they're not giving the full effort or something. It's like they're just thinking they put the Exorcist on it. That's going to do it. And I don't know. It's, you see movies like the Evil Dead movies and some of these others that. They take a try to come up with a fresh approach and they swing and it works. And they get something that feels like it belongs in the franchise, but yet it's nice, right? And it's different and it's got some passion behind it. The Exorcist could do the exact same thing. It's just take a swing. All right, we don't need the exact same thing as the old one. We don't, you know, we don't need a reference to whatever, Regan every time and Regan every time and everything else. Try something else. And maybe they will with this one since they say it's a different tale within the universe. But you know, hey, try something. Right? Take a big
Yeah.
swing. And I mean, can you do worse than some of these others recently that you've done? Nah. So and by take a big swing, I don't mean, oh, let's just sign Scarlett Johansson and think that's gonna be the instant hit.
Right.
No offense. I'm not saying anything bad about her. I'm just saying you're not guaranteed that's going to make it a box office hit just because Scarlett Johansson's in it. Which, by the way, does Scarlett Johansson say no to anything?
I was gonna say she's pretty much been in everything. I think after stopping doing all the Marvel stuff, I think she's like, I just need to find another niche.
You know, her Colin Jost is her husband, and he went with whoever and bought that ferry thing in New York and. They've lost a lot of money and this and that, trying to repair it and whatever. Maybe she feels like, hey, I got to keep making the big money.
I gotta keep making money so my husband doesn't bankrupt us with his new Carnival.
I don't know. But
That's funny. We're kidding, guys. We love you guys. We love you, Colin and Scar.
yeah, I'm not knocking.
So.
Oh, I love Colin Jost. He's great. And I'm not knocking Scar Jo. I mean, I like her. She's not my favorite because I feel like she. I don't want to go into too much of a tangent. I feel like she acts the same in every one of her roles, honestly. But that's not a bad thing. It's okay. I enjoy her movies for what they are, for the most part. You know, I didn't hate the last Jurassic World movie, but I don't know. It's like I want to see her try something different, and maybe it'll be in the
Yeah.
next Exorcist movie. Boy, there's a lot of maybes and what ifs with this next Exorcist movies, so.
Need to try something different, maybe in the Exorcist movie,
I take back what I said. They're not just movies. God damn
maybe.
it. This is our. No, I'm just joking. They might just be movies, but we're very passionate about them.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't
So
don't fuck up this next Exorcist movie, people.
right, yeah, absolutely. If you mess up this next one, it's gonna be bad news.
They mess this one up. I'm like, the next one comes out, I'm gonna be like, yeah, whatever.
Right, exactly. You're gonna be like,
I'll wait
you're
for
gonna forget
streaming.
this. But all right. Well, that's enough out of us. So we're going to take a quick break. We've done all of our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and no upcoming releases. But we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will have our 2026 preview. So stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
All right, and we are back. And I know we were going to buzz through everything just to get to this, but we get rambling. I guess, you know, more so. I mean, I'm the old man that's yelling at clouds. That and one breath says it doesn't matter, and the next breath screaming that it does. So, oh, just ignore me. No, don't ignore me. So, because it is time for our 2026 preview. Ike and I each picked five. It's usually just movies, but there's a couple of prominent series that are coming out, and with the wonderful use of the series now, we had to tie these in. So there are a couple of notable ones that we put in, but anyway, we did a top five for each of us with two honorable mentions. We averaged out their finishes, came up with a unified top five with three honorable mentions, and it was actually worked out pretty well. So here we go. We'll have some brief talk. We'll try not to get too sidetracked here and keep on topic as much as possible. So here we go. Our honorable mentions. I'm going to buzz through these three really quick, though. First honorable mention is the aforementioned Carrie series, developed by Mike Flanagan. It is based, of course, on the 1974 Stephen King novel. There is no release date yet, so we don't know exactly when it's coming out, but it is supposed to come out in 2026. Like I said earlier, we love Sissy Spacek. We love the original, but it will be cool to see them dive a little deeper into this series, into this book with a series. So our second honorable mention, The Strangers Chapter 3, directed by Rennie Harlan and releasing on February 6th. We have talked about this in the past. We like the other two Stranger movies, but we feel like they were the movies that had to be made to get to this one. We're very curious to see what they do to wrap up this new trilogy. So that is coming out in February. We are looking forward to that. And, of course, the movie that Ike is really, really looking forward to. I was the one probably that brought it down and knocked it down to an honorable mention because I don't think it was on my list. But Return to Silent Hill, the movie that has infinitely been anticipated, is apparently now on the calendar, directed by Christophe Gans. I don't know how you say that name. But releasing January 23rd. Ike had this way up on his list, I believe. I didn't have it on any of my lists, so that's what brought it down. But I still am curious to see what this is, but Ike's more invested in me. It's just the anticipation, right? I mean, it's like he's been waiting for this his whole life, and here it is. January 23rd. Come January 24th, I don't know what he'll live for anymore. So nope. We'll see what's next. I do, because we have the top five now movies. He'll live for these other movies. So, all right. We got the honorable mentions out of the way. Now, here are our top five most anticipated horror movies for 2026. We're counting down from 5 to 1. So Ike, throw out there number 5.
Absolutely, you got it. So this one's actually a little, I forgot that this movie was coming out until you sent me the list. And I was like, oh yeah, it's coming out. But Clayface is releasing on September 11th. That's an unfortunate day. Written by Hossein Amini and Mike Flanagan, directed by James Watkins. This is starring Naomi Ackle, Eddie Morrison, Max Minghella, and others. It is described as a shape-shifting creature made of magical clay haunts Gotham City, alternating between villain and an ally of Batman. Of course, this is Clayface. This is the Batman villain, and this is part of the DC universe. This is one of the first Batman related things that James Gunn has basically approved for this universe, because I believe this is actual in-universe DC universe, yes. Not like the extended universe with, like, well, we don't know who's playing Batman yet, so it could be Robert Pattinson still, but at least for right now, it's not the extended universe, which is like Matt Reeves, Pattinson, and all that stuff. So,
yes, that is correct. This is within the vein of like the Penguin series and things like that. That are approved, and they have said straight up, point blank, this will be a horror movie. This is going to be a straight up horror movie. So I'm very intrigued because it's time. It is time someone makes a good comic based horror movie, because there's so many opportunities out there to do it. So yeah, this is I feel like this movie's either going to, I don't know, I think it's going to be great or it's going to really be bad. I don't think there's going to be a lot of middle ground. But we'll see. But yeah, very much looking forward to it. Number four, of course, the other notable series that we have talked about. And of course, we've already mentioned it today. And we got to talk about it again, because every episode we are obligated, I feel like, to talk about it. The Crystal Lake series. There is no release date yet, but apparently it has finished filming. Developed by Brad Caleb Kane, directed by Michael Levy, a prequel series to the Friday the 13th franchise. Oh, excuse me, the directed by Michael Levy. I don't know why I put that in there, why that's in there. We don't know. each episode is probably directed by someone different.
Yeah.
A prequel, Michael Levy, if he listens, just got excited. But
he's so high. You got me some work.
My bad. A prequel series to the Friday the 13th franchise, of course, and described as a prequel series to Friday the 13th, which follows a doomed small town where camp counselors come to die. Very vague. We know that information. We know whatever. Does look intriguing, though. And again, there's so much anticipation that it's hard not to look forward to it. Here's hoping. Here, I mean, we've waited for something. I like the approach. I like a series. I like that it's a prequel. I think they can do some fun things. Let's just see what happens. And let's hope we'll see this time next year what we're talking about, where it lands on our highlights. But I'm looking forward to it, and we'll see what happens. So, Ike, you want to throw anything in there about Crystal Lake before we move on?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm hoping it happens. You know what I mean? Like that's the big thing. Is, you know, it's something that you learn about, you know, horror movies and horror series and just stuff in general, is that it's going to happen, but you don't really know it's going to happen until it actually comes out, right? You don't have that confirmation until it is actually released onto a streaming service or anything else. So very unfortunate that we have to even say that. But I'm excited. Obviously, I love Crystal Lake, Friday the 13th. I love all of the stuff that's encapsulated with that. So I'm sure I will love this series. It's just hoping that it doesn't get shelved last minute, like Batgirl or something like that.
Yeah, well, like Soulmate, the movie that was supposed to be the Megan offshoot.
Yeah.
That was on the calendar. Yeah, it's been dropped off the calendar. No one knows anything now what they're going to do with it. And, you know, I don't know. Megan 2 might have killed that movie.
Yeah, I think it did.
And I don't know. Seeing Megan 2, it might be for the best. Okay. This is not a Megan conversation, though.
No, it's not.
And I said we wouldn't get sidetracked. So let's move on. Ike, throw out there. Number three.
Numero tres. We have Resident Evil. This is a big year for Resident Evil fans, because in January or February, we're getting the 9th video game installment, Resident Evil Requiem. And then on September 18th, we are getting Zach Krieger's and Shay Hatton's version of Resident Evil. Of course, it's also directed by Zach Krieger, starring Austin Abrams, Paul Walter Hauser, Zach Jerry, and others. And it is described as, following a hapless courier tasked with delivering a package to a remote hospital, he soon finds himself caught in the middle of an outbreak and must fight through hordes of mutated creatures to survive. I was a little skeptical, because Zach Krieger basically said this is going to be happening in the games universe, but this first movie is not going to be about a specific game, and it's not pulling any legacy characters or anything like that. This movie is basically pulling from his own imagined characters from the universe. And so because of that, we have a little bit of that questioning of like, you know, hey, what's going on here? Like, what, you know, what's the concept of all this? And then now we're into the universe of, okay, where do we go from here? So I'm very excited for this. I trust Zach Krieger. He's a very talented director. I think that he can do what he needs to do to make the series very profitable, but it's also going to be a confirmation of, is this a risky move? Yes, but is it a good move to not pull from those legacy characters? So I'm excited. I'm going to withhold judgment. This comes a couple of days after my birthday, so that's also exciting.
Yeah, and again, you know, I'm not super invested, but I am intrigued. But again, they've tried so much and so many times with these things and everything else. But you know, maybe something a little bit vaguer, a little out of the box, maybe that'll help give it some cross the board appeal. Maybe, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what it does. It recently has been it's been, you know, good times for movie adaptations of games. So maybe this will continue on. So who knows? Again, it's a very vague description, right? It doesn't really tell us anything that you couldn't apply to damn near anything associated with the franchise, pretty much, for the most part. So, okay, then, coming in at number two, sure. Evil Dead Burn, releasing July 24th, written by Florent Bernard and Sebastian Venex, directed by Sebastian, how do you say it? Venisek, I'm sorry, Sebastian. I know you listen, and I'm sorry. Starring Hunter Dewin, Lucianne Buchanan, Errol Shound, and others. No description is available. Time. The plot is apparently very tightly under wraps. Good for them. I don't care. Do what you want. It's Evil Dead Burn with the recent Evil Dead Rise and everything else. I am on board. These lately, Evil Dead has been one of the best things going out there. If you go back in the archives to our review of Evil Dead Rise, I know it placed pretty really high in our year in rankings that year. And I have full faith this movie is going to just kick ass like it did. And I'm super excited. I don't know if it continues from that movie at all. I don't know if it's a side. I don't care. I don't care. If you just told me, and with absolutely no information, here it is, this date, new Evil Dead movie, I'm there. Done. I don't care anything else. But I am eagerly anticipating, you know, some trailers, information and stuff to get to see some more. But I'm super excited for this movie. So, Ike, what are you thinking on Evil Dead Burn?
Absolutely. I'm obviously super stoked for it. Evil Dead Rise was a shining light for the series. We hadn't had much in terms of content from the series for a little while since the Ash versus the Evil Dead. A little Freudian slip there. But
Bruce Campbell would chuckle at that.
He'd probably be like, you know what, that's a fair fair contribution to my works.
Yeah.
But no, absolutely. I mean, Ash. Man, stuck in my brain now. Ash versus the Evil Dead was great. It kind of left a gap for a while. So then we're like, okay, well, you know, what are we waiting for? And we got Evil Dead Rise, which was so, so good. And then now we have Evil Dead Burn. And then there's obviously supposed to be a third movie at some point in the future, as far as I'm aware. But that always can change. But no, absolutely. I think that this is going to be great to connect to Rise. But I think it will also sort of tie in the overall universe of Evil Dead.
Yeah.
There's a lot of rumors about like how this is going to work and how it's all going to kind of, you know, fit together. And there's always those talks from like Army of Darkness, three Necronomicons and the three, you know, iterations of the Evil Dead series. So I think that that's kind of where they're going with it. And I hope that we get more information about that in Burn, which is why I think that it's so tightly under wraps, because it's really going to kind of blow the whole story open.
Yeah. And one of the reasons I'm so excited, right? I want to see them do that. I want to see them creatively pull all this together and make it one nice universe. And I just, you know, they've done it. They're doing it. I want to see them show other filmmakers how I can do this shit. Right. They're making some good movies and everything else. I just want them to show how, hey, here's how you can take all this various stuff and these different approaches. You can pull it together and it's still good, still creative. Yeah. And hey, guess what? We didn't scrap, you know, three tries to get to here.
exactly.
I'm being a little snarky. I'm still worked up on The Exorcist. But no,
right.
but again, Evil Dead Burn was very high on both our lists.
Yes.
So you know, this was there. I think I don't know. I think I can't remember exactly. I think I had it two. You had it three, maybe something like that. It was very high on both our lists. And as was I believe the next movie at number one. So Ike, here we go. I feel like it's we've reached that again, obligatory moment of the show. But go ahead and reveal our number one most anticipated movie for 2026.
Yeah, I don't think this will be of any surprise to anybody ever, who's ever listened to this podcast. I mean, you've listened to like one or two episodes. You probably know what's coming on. Numero Uno is Scream 7, releasing on February 27th, and it is written by Kevin Williamson, James Vanderbilt, and Guy Busick. Of course, directed by Kevin Williamson, starring Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, Isabel May, and essentially pretty much everybody else who's ever been in the Scream franchise. So,
pretty much.
It is described as, when a new Ghostface killer emerges in the town where Sydney Prescott has built a new life, her darkest fears are realized as her daughter becomes the next target. Now, we talk about Scream 7 pretty much every episode because there's always some sort of news. You know, and a year ago when they were still kind of working out the ifs, ands, or buts about Scream 7 after the, how Scream 6 kind of panned out, there were certain questions about whether or not the series would even extend to another movie. They kind of shelved it for like a month, and then they're like, okay, we're going to do all this again, blah, blah. So there's been a lot of ups and downs with the series, but we are officially getting already made. They can't take it away from us yet, at least not that I know of. And we're getting it in February. So I think that there's a lot of speculation on who's going to be in this. Is, Stu Mocker, is he still alive? That's the big question. So we'll find out here in about 2 months, I guess.
All right. Yeah, super excited for this. Again, we don't need to talk about this much. We talk about it all the time. Everybody knows we're excited. Right. Everybody knows we're curious. Everybody knows, you know, how hopeful we are. And we are excited enough that that is our number one anticipated movie. So to wind down, there you have it. And of course, there's lots of other exciting movies that are coming in 2026. 28 years later, The Bone Temple, Hokum, Ready or Not, Here I Come, and others that we don't know yet, including many great things that will come to Shudder and Screambox. So we have all that to look. I mean, just these are some highlights. And again, if we knew some more of the things to come, our list might completely shuffle. There's always good stuff that pops up. So, but again, so in our next episode, we will do a review of 2025 with our top five favorite movies from this year. And we will also, as we do that, we will compare and contrast how our favorite movies of the year compared to what were our favorite or most anticipated movies of the year. We're going to add, I don't think we've done that element in the past, but we're going to do it this time. We're going to see how the list compares and how much the anticipation panned out in the end. So should be fun, but that is coming next episode. Once again, thank you to our wives and all the listeners and followers for all your support. Guys, let's all make sure as we wind down 2025, let's make 2026 a great year for the horror genre. And let's represent ourselves well as horror fans. We like to once again make sure to wish everybody a Merry Christmas as this drops on Christmas Day. And give us a gift. Be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much all the platforms. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen to Screams, and you will find us. So before we close this out, Ike, anything? This is this is the last episode of 2025. So here we are. So before we close out, anything you want to add, Ike?
Oh man, it's been a great year. A lot of fun movies came out this year. A lot of fun stuff, just in general. Like Dave said, happy holidays. Everybody stay safe out there. If you're cooking a turkey in a oil fire, make sure you're not doing that on the grass
you really like to put that public service announcement out there.
I seen just the other day somebody had there. It wasn't here like where we live, but it was somewhere further east in Florida. I want to say maybe like Jacksonville or something like that. But some idiot was cooking a turkey in like a big old like oil fryer, and he had it on like a dead patch of grass or something like that. Mm. And like the turkey was still partially frozen, so obviously that's a big no-no. And it like boiled over, grass caught on fire, almost burned down this guy's house, his neighbor's house. Like, I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, come on, let's not kill everybody.
I totally feel like we need to make a t-shirt with the Ike and his deep fried turkey PSA.
Yeah, absolutely. We
We,
should. We should.
yeah, that's right. Just put it out there. So, but yeah, all right. Go ahead though. Yeah, be careful frying your turkey
Yes,
and
please be
so.
careful. Or if you're frying a ham, I guess. I don't know if people fry ham these days.
Yeah, do what you want. It's your holiday dinner.
Right.
Go big or go home. So, all right. But yeah, happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everyone. Thank you for 2025. And here's to 2026. And with that, we put a close on the year. We're saying, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.